your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Oh, I know if you be still, will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall, will I sing hallelujah? I'll be able to speak it all, I can only imagine.
Good morning. Two of us are awake. Three of us. My wife is awake. That's very encouraging. Hey, it is so awesome to have you here with us today, whether you're joining us in-house or whether you're joining us online. We have already seen several of you connecting with us online, and we just want to say welcome. We are so, so excited to have you a part of today's worship service, and we just want to say welcome home. And for those of you that are either here or you're watching us live, if you would do me the honor of, during the service, check in on our Facebook page. Just let people know that you're here. I don't remember how long it's been since I've read it, but at the time that I read it, studies suggested that between 200 and 300 people will see your check-in whenever you check in on Facebook. What an easy way for us to invite our friends and our family members to join us online or to join us on campus as we continue to worship God. And so if you would do me the honor, at some point today during this service, check in on Facebook, I would really appreciate it. I do want to remind everyone, we are continuing to still practice 6-foot social distancing, and so just make sure you join us and encourage us with that, and that you were making sure you were taking care of you and your loved ones that way as well. And again, we are doing touchless just about everything. If we can avoid any points of contact, that's what we're doing. That includes our worship guides. Right now, we are not handing out any worship guides, and so one thing you can do is go to treecitychurch.com TN.com. Click on the link that says bulletins. You're going to see a link there for today's date where you can follow along with all of our slides, all of our scripture, what songs we're doing, all that kind of stuff. And then at the very bottom of it, there is a digital connection card. If you would do me the honor of filling that out, it just records your visit. I'm not going to come beat and bang on your door or anything like that. I'm not going to send you a bunch of spam email or anything. We just want to be able to pray with you and for you. So if you would do us the honor of filling out that connection card, we would be so grateful that you would record your visit. Just let us know how to pray for you. In just a moment, we are going to stand. We're going to continue to sing, but first we are going to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we love you, and we are so thankful that you love us. And God, we understand today that there is nothing more that we could do to make you love us anymore. And there's nothing that we could do to make you love us any less. And God, you love us with a perfect love, an inescapable love. And God, we are just so thankful that today we get to enter into your presence, that we get to go to the very throne room and kneel before the throne of God, where even angels fear to tread. We are so humbled that you would welcome us. God, there is nothing about us that makes us worthy, but your Son makes us worthy. And so we just celebrate him. We celebrate you. We love you. And we thank you for this opportunity we have. God, we ask, Lord, that you would just move mightily in this place, that you would bless every person who is here watching in-house, that you would bless every person who is watching online, that during this service today, that they would just feel you drawing them closer and closer and closer unto you so that we could begin to walk more and more and more like Jesus. God, we are so excited about what you have for us today. Help us to just have a heart of surrender, that whatever it is you were calling us to, our answer is already yes. We are ready for whatever you have for us. Yes. God, we love you. We trust you. We thank you. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand as we continue to sing.
Your breath.
say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some.
God, we love you, and we know that you love us, even whenever our world is in chaos, when our lives are in a storm, whenever we are going through things that we do not understand, God, we know that you are right there with us every step of the way, where we can say, even if, we know you were there. And so, God, we love you, we trust you, and we are asking, God, that you would move in our time today, that you would move in our midst, and that you would change our lives so that we would leave here differently than when we came in. God, we love you and we thank you, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, you can be seated, and I just want to say welcome again. We are so excited that you are here today, and I'm a little out of sorts. I've been studying the book of Peter with you for so long that now that the series is over, I don't know where to go from here. And this was honestly a really challenging week. With all this quarantine stuff going on, I've planned my sermon calendar like 6 months in advance. And then all of a sudden, all this quarantine stuff happens, and like so, some of the times I was supposed to be speaking at other churches have been changed, and all that stuff. And so, my whole preaching calendar has been up in the air. And so, I have wound up with this little weird week right here, where I was like, I didn't have anything planned, I didn't know what to preach on, I didn't know what we were going to be doing. And so, I was like, all right, well, God, we're trusting you, as we always do. And then by Friday, I was like, God, we're still trusting you, but I need something. And so, I'm really excited, though, about the word that God has for us today. I think it'll be an encouragement to us. And we're going to be talking about the hard road to faith. The hard road to faith, because faith is an easy thing to talk about when things are great. But whenever things are not great in our lives, that can be a much more challenging conversation, am I right? And so I want to talk about hope that holds us. Whenever all of this quarantine stuff started, we started trying to figure out, like, how can we still connect and grow and minister to one another? And so we got sort of I don't know what to call it other than maybe our little quarantine group put together, where, several of us have been studying the book of Joshua for just kind of going through an app, and we're sharing some questions and sharing some conversation about it. And it's been really good. I've really enjoyed it. And I've been growing from it. I think we're all growing from it and learning things from it, because there's so many lessons. There's so much encouragement that can come from the book of Joshua. And of course, we're still just exploring and discovering. I mean, there's still so much that we haven't read in that group yet. And so I'm excited because I know what's coming and I know where we're going, and I'm just like, there's so much good stuff in here. But, we've been reading through that, and as we were reading through it, and it's funny because even as we were, just going through our week, I didn't even know that I was going to be preaching from this passage yet, but Michelle and I she had it pop up in her little Facebook memories earlier this week. Where she had asked for, was it 4 years ago, for prayer for going to do an interview for a job out in East Tennessee, because whenever we first got married, that's where we were living. And, I have to give Michelle so much credit, because, I mean, she left everything to follow what she believed God was calling her to do. I mean, we had just gotten married. She moved to Athens, Tennessee with me for us to continue to try to plant a church. That church failed as far as that plant did not take root. And, she left everything that she knew to join me, all of her family, all of her friends, everything. She moved to East Tennessee. We kind of joke saying that she is the poster child for don't tell God what you won't do, because she told God she'd never live outside of Tennessee and she'd never live in a small town. And she would never live outside of Georgia and she would never live in a small town. And then, then she married me and God said, tell me again what you won't do. And so, anyways, we joke about that. But, in all honesty, she left everything just to follow the call of God on her life. And I'm so inspired by her. But, at this point, she's been filling out, 60, 70 resumes you'd sent out? I mean, just an insane amount of resumes she sent out. And she's very well qualified as a teacher. I mean, she's got a master's degree, and, she had certifications in not just general education, but special education. I mean, I would think if I were a principal that this would be like, this would be a diamond in the rough is the way I think about it. And I mean, I realize I'm biased, but still, you know, I feel like, you know, her resume would stand out among any resumes you may be receiving, yet she never got calls. She eventually got one phone call for an interview. She drove, was it 45 minutes to get there? And the guy didn't even show up to interview her, which was particularly frustrating and challenging for her. And so, you know, she left everything with no promises, but she did it to follow the call of God on her life. She trusted that God was going to provide for her. And so it became very challenging for her to be sending out all these resumes and all these applications. She's alone now. You know, that support system that she had had in Georgia, she doesn't have that now. She's hours away from that. And she never abandoned her faith, but certainly it was trying. It was challenging for her. It was trying and challenging for me because I'm like, you know, I'm going through the struggles of this church plant is failing, and I'm watching my wife be miserable. We're just newlyweds, and I'm like, okay, she hates being with me, and she regrets this. And it was hard. It was harder for her than it was for me, I'm not going to lie, but it was hard for us both, and it was hard in our marriage. And so the point I'm making is it's a lot easier to say faith conquers all whenever life is good. But it was a much different conversation to have a road to faith 4 years ago for us. And perhaps you find yourself there, perhaps you have been there, perhaps you're going into that and you're not even aware of it yet. But how do we have hope that we can hold on to whenever all of this is going on in our lives? You know, she wasn't even getting these calls, no letters, no emails, thanks, but no thanks, just like sending out all of this stuff and none of it's coming back. And it was so much easier to have a road of faith when the road itself is smooth. It's a lot more difficult whenever your road to faith looks like the interstates in Alabama. And it's all busted up. That's been my experience on the interstates in Alabama. I just, you know, I ain't knocking Alabama. I'm just saying, not great roads to drive on in my experience. I'm digressing. But it's a lot more difficult to hold on to faith and to hold on to hope when it seems like we're praying these big, audacious, difficult prayers and they're going unanswered. And we don't know if it's a no. We don't know if it's a not yet. But what we know is we've been praying these big, audacious things and they're not coming to fruition. And as we talk about that, as we explore that, I want us to, if you have your Bible, go ahead and open them up with me to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, this is where we're going to be spending our time today. So we're going to start with verses 2 through 5. Joshua chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. It said, "The Lord said to Joshua, 'Look, I have handed Jericho, its king, and its best soldiers over to you. March around the city with all of the men of war, circling the city one time, and do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry 7 ram's horn trumpets in front of the ark, but on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times while the priests blow the trumpets. When there is a prolonged blast of the horn, and you hear its sound, have all of the troops give a mighty shout. Then the city wall will collapse, and the troops will advance, and each man will go straight ahead.'" Notice that God didn't just say, "Hey, go do a lap and blow a horn and shout your praise and advance on the city." He said, "Do a quiet, calm lap, one lap around a city each time for 6 days." Now, it's one thing to talk about faith, and it's another thing to get up and start moving in your faith. It's a different thing entirely when you know God has called you to do something, and then you get up and you start walking in that. A few weeks ago, for the last few months, we've had some water heater issues, and I finally got to the point where I just like, I'm tired of seeing our electric bill go up. We're tired of seeing our water bill go up. I'm going to have to fix this thing. I'm not a plumber. I'm not a plumber. Haven't done a whole lot of plumbing, but I was like, you know, I'm well versed in the power of Google. So I watched me some YouTube videos. Had my brother come over and kind of ran some things over with him as far as like, I just do this, this, this. He's like, yeah, you do that, that, that. Okay, cool, 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 cool. I can do that. I can do that. So even though I've watched all these videos and I've consulted all these, resources and I've watched, I've talked to my brother about it, it was still really intimidating. Why? Because I've never done it. Never replaced a part on a water heater before. So even though I had seen practice, I have not practiced. Does that make sense? And maybe you find yourself there where you say, I see somebody who has gone through what I'm going through, and they came through it okay, but I've never been through this, and so I don't know if I'm going to come through it okay, even though I could see that I'm going to go through it okay. Does that make sense? I feel like we're all on the same page here. Good, good. So following God does not always make sense. Now, once I got started with my plumbing, I was like, okay, I'm getting a little confidence because this is going like it went on the video. Awesome. Excellent. Very good. And so, I only had to go to Lowe's like 17 times to get more pieces. But hey, that's all right. At the end of the day, we got it done. And now if I ever have to do it again, I have a little bit more confidence to do it again. I haven't flooded the house once, have I? It's amazing. But see, that's the thing. The more familiar we become in our relationship with Jesus, the more we can trust him in the things that don't make sense. I tell you, the big key for me in knowing I could do it, as far as having the confidence to start moving forward with it, was not the videos, but it was Joel. When my brother came over and said, yeah, you just do this, this, and this, and it's just that easy. He knows me. He knows my skill set. He knows what I can and cannot do. And he would not have said, Kevin, you could do this, if he didn't feel like Kevin could have done this. Because the YouTube videos don't know what I can and cannot do. They're just showing you how they do it. But here's Joel saying, yeah, I know your abilities, and I'm confident you can do this. And that gave me the confidence to move forward. Like, I got to try. Worst case scenario, I break something and I call Chad. And if Chad can't fix it, I'll call a plumber. I'm cheap. But the person who knew me is the one who gave me the confidence that I'm going to be able to do this thing. Do we see the correlation here? Jesus is the one who knows us more intently, more intimately, more sweetly than anyone else. Jesus knows you better than you know you. And so whenever you are walking with him, and whenever you're spending time with him, and when you are worshiping with him, and you are meditating with him, and you are ministering with him, and he calls you into something big and audacious and crazy, you say, well, Jesus knows me better than I know me, and I've been walking with him long enough to know that he knows me. You see the difference here. And so this brings us to our first takeaway. Faith is not built on a plan. It's found on the one with the plan. I had an idea of how to replace and fix these parts on my water heater, but that didn't do me any confidence. But here comes along Joel saying, yeah, you need to do this, this, and this. And Joel has done this stuff before. And so just because Joel knew how to do it, I could place my trust in the plan. Because my faith is not built on a plan, it's built on the one who has the plan. Our faith is not built on what we want to do for God. Our faith is built on God himself. Our faith is built on the strength, the saving, redemptive power of Jesus Christ to erase all of the things that hold you back, all of the fears, all of the insecurities, all of the guilt of your past. Jesus says, I have written the check for that, and I have a plan for your life. I have a plan for you to do great and amazing, incredible things for the kingdom of God. So what kind of plan is this? Whenever Joshua is looking at his plan, saying, God's going, here's Jericho, this mighty city, and you're going to overtake it. Go do some laps. Now, as you can tell, I would have some issues with that plan. I imagine Joshua was in far better shape than I was. But what kind of plan is this? Go do some laps, and on after a week of doing laps, just yell at the guys. Just scream at them. Have you seen these walls, God? Have you seen this army that we're about to go up against? We are trying to invade it, and we've got these mighty walls. This plan does not make any sense. Even if I had an army twice the size, I'm not going to be able to defeat a wall. But here's Joshua just going, oh, okay, that's the plan. With God, our plans cannot fail. So his plan, his faith was not built on the plan. He didn't have all the details of the plan. He just knew that God said, do some laps, praise me on the seventh day, and watch the walls fall. And maybe today that is you where you're saying, I have been looking at the walls when I need to start listening to the God. I need to start placing my faith in God himself. I need to trust that Jesus is going to carry me through. Whatever the wall looks like, he's going to knock it down. However, God needs to knock it down. Maybe you need to stop paying attention to the wall in your life, and you need to start paying attention to the God who is calling you to move forward. Because with God, we cannot fail. That's not my promise. That is the very word of Christ. He said, with man, everything is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. These are the words of Christ. With God, we cannot fail. And I'm not saying that you're going to walk out here and go start a business and you're going to be a multimillionaire just because you speak some word over your life. This is not a Joel Osteen kind of sermon, okay? But what I'm saying is whatever God tells you to do is the thing that is not going to fail in your life as long as we are obedient, as long as we place our faith not on the plan, but on the one with the plan. Amen. See, Joshua has seen a lot of crazy stuff. Joshua has watched a lot unfold. He was born in Egypt. He was part of the Exodus. He was chosen as the successor to Moses. So he had had a front row seat to all of these incredible things that had played out. He had seen the Red Sea parted. Could you imagine that? We read about it 6,000 years later, and I still can't wrap my little head around the idea of the Red Sea being parted and they cross on dry land. Yet here's Joshua. He's lived it through. He has seen God provide manna from heaven so that the Israelites would not starve. He has seen water pour out of a rock that was struck with a stick. He has seen some crazy, crazy stuff. And Joshua has seen God do a lot of impossible things. Anybody else here ever crossed a body of water that just randomly parted? Anybody else ever had food fall out of the sky? Because if so, I'm going to follow you and start praying for some Krispy Kremes. Anybody else ever drink water from a rock? I have done none of these things. And Joshua has seen all of this play out. And this is the thing. We can live and be inspired by the faith of others. Whenever we decided to plant this church, I had never built a successful church plant. I've been around a lot of them. But you want to believe? I was terrified whenever we started this thing. Here we are several years later. I'm still terrified. But I'm trusting the one with a plan. Amen. And so I can be inspired. I mean, I can look at all these other church planners and be so inspired and in all of the things that has happened in their church. But their faith doesn't change my journey. I am learning that planting a church looks nothing at all what I thought it would look like. And it looks even less like somebody else's church plant. Why? Because it's God's church. We can see and be inspired by all sorts of stuff. And we can be inspired by the faith of other people. But that's not going to do us a lick of good on our own journey. Because we have to be the one to take our steps. Joshua had witnessed all this incredible obedience from Moses numerous times over. But now he is facing Jericho. Now it's time for his own obedience. So we read that this does indeed happen, that he leads the army out to do exactly what he does. So we pick up with verse 15. We're reading 15 through 20. It says, early on the seventh day, they started at dawn and marched around the city seven times in the same way. So that for the last 6 days, they've already gone and done one lap. Now, could you imagine the doubters that have been in this army by now? Didn't we just do this? That's the same stump that we looked at yesterday. Remember that bush you went over there? You peed behind that thing. This is all the same stuff, and nothing is changing. See, these walls still have not fallen. And so no doubt Joshua had his fair share of doubters at this point. And maybe God has called you to something. You want to believe Tree City Church has had some doubters. Leanne's been with us basically from the very beginning. We have had a lot of people say, this is not going to work. You are not going to stick. You can't afford it. You can't reach people. You've never been to seminary. You are not going to succeed. You're right, but God will. And here we are. You're watching us. You're in this house. Because God is faithful. Because God had a plan. And so we listened not to the doubters, but to the God who called us forward. And that's what's continued to happen. Here we are 7 days. If you've watched Facebook, you've watched the news, you understand our world has changed a lot in the last 7 days. Our world is far different than it was last Sunday. Dear God, let us learn from this. But here we are 7 days later, and so they get up early on the seventh day. They started at dawn, marched around the city seven times in the same way. Now, this was the only day that they marched around the city seven times. After the seventh time, the priest blew the trumpets, and Joshua said to the troops, shout, for the Lord has given you this city. But the city and everything in it are set apart to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and everyone with her in the house will live, because she hid the messengers that we sent. But keep yourselves from the things set apart, or you will be set apart for destruction. And if you take any of those things, you will set apart the camp of Israel for destruction and make trouble for it. For all the silver, all the gold, all the articles of bronze and iron are dedicated to the Lord and must go into the treasury. Get this. So the troops shouted. So they've done some laps and they've shouted, and that's the only assault they've done on the wall. And the trumpets sounded. And when they heard the blast of the trumpet, the troops gave a great shout, and the wall collapsed. And the troops advanced into the city, each man straight ahead, and they captured the city. They did not touch the wall. All they did was act in obedience and worship. That's all they've done, is they've yelled and They've got some miles on. They put some miles on their shoe, and here these walls collapse. Imagine being Joshua. For the last 6 nights, he has lived with no realization of the promise of the collapsed walls. For the last 6 days, he's put it all on the line. I mean, this is not a private faith. He has commanded the army to go do a lap. So no matter what he looks like, he sends the army out there. And every time the army comes back from the lap, and the walls still stand. 6 nights, he has laid it all on the line. 6 nights, the walls still stand. Imagine how nervous he must have felt on the seventh day. Imagine, even though God has already said, this is what's going to happen, experience is telling me otherwise, God. Because what I have experienced is I've sent these people out, and they've come back, and the walls have still stood. And so I trust, God, I trust that you have called me to something. I trust that you're going to fulfill the word that you said you're going to fulfill. But God, if I look at history, if I look at the past, I see that the walls are still there. So why? Because the fight is God's. Why circle the city? Why do seven lamps on the seventh day? What's that going to do with the wall? Sometimes, my friends, faith is not about the outcome, but what it is doing in you. Imagine the anticipation that has also been building. Because he knows what Joshua knows what God has said is going to happen. On the seventh day, we're going to see, no matter what the detractors said, no matter what the doubters have said, we're going to see some walls fall. And we're going to take this city. So imagine what, not what the outcome has been doing, but what the anticipation is doing. He hasn't seen anything yet, other than some people come back thirsty and dirty from walking laps. So my question to you is, what walls, what circles have you been going in? What are you still circling? And like Joshua, will you keep working? Will you keep believing for walls to fall down? Because it's doubtless that Joshua rested not on what God has done, but what he was waiting on God to do. I want to say that again. No doubt Joshua was resting not on what God has done, but what he is going to do. It didn't do Joshua any good to think about the Red Sea parting. It didn't do him any good to think about manna from heaven. It didn't do him any good to think about water from a rock. Why? Because those were Moses' promises. That had been promised to Moses, and Moses had experienced it. So now here he is, and he's moving on what God had promised to him. Does that make sense? It may be that God has promised something to you. It may be that God has called you to Tennessee to say, go plant a church with your husband. Keep sending out those resumes, because I have a wall that's going to fall. And that journey has looked nothing like we thought it would. We are a long way from Athens, Tennessee. Yet here we are, walking in the faith, the confidence, the promise that God has given us. So this takes us to our last takeaway. Obedience is up to you. The outcome belongs to God. It may be that you've been so focused on what you want to see happen when God is saying, don't you worry about what's going to happen. Worry about just doing whatever in the world I've told you to do. See, this is the thing. Faith is going to allow you to have patience when the circumstances around you are saying it's time to panic. I got to tell you, whenever we first went into all the quarantine stuff, I knew what our finances were as a church. And I was like, I don't know. I'll be real with you. I just don't know. How? So we consulted God in prayer. And he said, the same promise I called you to is the same promise I'm calling you to today. Just point people to me. And leave the outcome to me. Okay, cool. And here we still are, because God made a way. God paid bills. We still don't know how our gas bill got paid. I mean, I know God did the work, but I don't know how that played out, and it doesn't matter. Faith will tell you that you can hold on when everyone else is saying, be like Elsa and let it go. Faith is going to let you keep pushing forward, keep doing laps when everyone else is telling you maybe it's time to pull back. People who loved me, people who loved Michelle, told us not to plant this church. We had family tell us, don't plant this church. It's, you know, you're not seeing anything. Wrong. We are seeing lives change. I am seeing lives change. I'm looking into this crowd. I'm seeing lives change. I checked our Facebook feed during the worship time. We have people connecting whose lives have been changed. Not because of anything that God, I've done other than be obedient. God has done the work, and God will keep doing the work. And my friends, if he's done it in this church for the last 3.5 years, he's going to keep doing it in your life. Almost 4 years this church has been going, and we have no idea how. None of us have any kind of pastoral schooling. Your leadership team is made up of a bunch of people who just love Jesus and want to see people's lives changed. And that's enough. Faith is going to allow you to keep pushing forward when everything else is saying this makes no sense. You got to let it go. Start pulling back. Start recovering. Start saving face. When here's Jesus going, don't worry about the outcome. Worry about doing whatever it was I told you to do. See, faith is not about making sense. If you've ever walked through a journey of faith, a hard road of faith, if you've ever sent out over 60 resumes, you know that faith does not make sense. Because she should have been called a bunch of times over on her resume. But she didn't get that call. Why? Because God did not want us in East Tennessee. He didn't want us stuck there. He said, I'm starting a work in McMinnville, Tennessee, and I need you to go. For every fear, for every frustration, for every heartache in your life, there is an empty grave. Am I the only one excited about that? Guys, Jesus overcame death. So every time you have a fear, there is an empty grave for that. Amen. Whenever you are frustrated beyond all comprehension, there is an empty grave for that. Whenever your life is in a storm, whenever you're marching through a heartache, there is an empty grave. There is a living Jesus saying, I am here for you. I am with you. Don't worry about what they say. Just come into my loving arms. My friends, for everything that you have going on in your life, every storm, every trial, every temptation, there is an empty grave saying, I am here for you. Amen. Because it's empty, because I'm alive. I am a living, breathing, working, active God. I will move in your life in ways that you will not understand. I will move in your life in ways that do not make any sense. But guess what? I have a plan. And all I need you to do is trust me and worship me and just believe in the outcome belonging to me. Work like it belongs to you, but trust that it and pray that it belongs to God. Because at the end of the day, it does. And so as we close, and I know I'm going over, and I don't care, because my friends, you need to hear that there is an empty grave in your life. And praise God, we do not have to fabricate faith. How do we have hope whenever the world is telling us there is no hope? Because if we have learned anything this week, is that we cannot have any confidence in our fellow man. There's some kids in our audience, so I'm going to be sparing on the details, but I don't know if you have seen the video of George Floyd. This is senseless. A person we should have been able to have faith and confidence and trust in, a police officer, instead senselessly murders another human being. My friends, we cannot have any confidence in our fellow man. I asked a counselor one time, how can I trust people again? I'd gone through some hurt, and I was struggling, really struggling. I said, how can I ever trust again? And the best advice I have ever received was a simple statement of, you don't. You trust the Christ inside them. My friands, we got to band together. But we got to trust the Christ inside them. And that's the beauty of it, is we do not have to fabricate faith on our own, because Hebrews 12 tells us that if our faith is found in Jesus, he is the author of our faith, he is the finisher of our faith, he is the completion of our faith. You want to have faith? Have Jesus. Trust in Jesus, and he's going to grow faith in your life. He's going to build faith in your life, because faith is built on Jesus. And so maybe today you're watching, maybe you're here in house, maybe you're watching online, you say, hey, you know what, Kevin, that's me. I've got a storm going on in my life, and I feel like God is calling me through it. I feel like God is calling me to something, but the more I think about it, the more overwhelmed I am by the sheer size of the walls that I have to get through to get to it. I believe that God is calling me to a promise, but every time I look at it, every time I talk about it, I have these people trying to talk me out of it. Every time I think about what it's going to cost me, I get embarrassed, because what if this fails? What if this fails? fails? What if this fails? And here's Jesus going, don't worry about that. Just focus on the fact that there is an empty grave because I am living and active and working beside you. Maybe today that is you and you are saying, you know what? My life is in a storm. My world is rocked right now. And I've been trying to push my way through it. I've been trying to push my way through it. And still, everything within me says this makes no sense. But today I'm going to be placing my faith in Jesus. Maybe I've already made that decision once in my life to follow Jesus, but I've become distracted. I've become unfocused. I've become overwhelmed by the circumstances going on around me. And today, Kevin, would you pray for me? That I would not be focused on the outcome, but I would be focused on the one with the plan. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, is that somebody here today? Is there somebody here who would say, you know what, Kevin, I am renewing the trust that I have placed in Jesus. Is that you today? Anyone in this house, just raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Maybe you're watching online. You say, hey, Kevin, you know what? That's me. I need someone to pray with me through this storm. My friends, we have prayer counselors online. And so if that's you today, I just want you to comment the word faith. If you're watching us live right now, just comment the word faith. And one of our prayer counselors would be so proud and honored to be able to engage with you and to pray with you. Maybe you're watching a replay of this. You're not watching online. You say, hey, I don't know if there's a prayer counselor that's available to me. I promise you, if you will message us on Facebook, email us prayer@treecitychurchtn.com. Just let us know how we can pray with you, and I promise you, we will respond to you. But maybe today you've been out here, and you've been looking at the storms in your life, and you were saying, I have been walking all on my own. My life is busted. My life is broken. And Kevin, right now, I have zero hope because I don't know this Jesus that you're talking about. My friends, it's as simple as understanding and believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to the earth, that he lived a perfect life, that he died for our rebellions, for our sin, for our mistakes. And not only did he die to pay the penalty, the resurrecting power of God pulled Jesus out of death 3 days later. So not only did he pay the penalty, he cleared the check. And so today, maybe that's you today. Say, I just need to say yes to following him, understanding that I'm not going to get through the storms of life on my own because I was never meant to. So today I am saying yes to Jesus and placing my faith, my trust, my confidence in God. Is that you today? Would you raise your hand? Anyone in this house, say, I am placing my faith in God. Maybe you're watching online. You say, hey, you know what, Kevin, that's me. And I don't know what my next steps are, but I know that I am trusting in this Jesus to save me, to redeem me, to rescue me from my pit of despair. And so I'm placing that trust in him today. Would you comment the word yes? Y-E-S, yes. God, we love you. And for those in this house who have raised their hands, for those who are online watching, who are making decisions, we celebrate with the angels in heaven over those who are stepping closer and closer and closer to you, those who are placing their confidence and their trust and their hope in you. And God, we are trusting that you are going to pull them through the trials, that they're doing the lamps, but the outcome is left to you. And so we look forward to celebrating the victories that you are going to provide. But more than that, we look forward to celebrating you. So God, we love you. And we trust you. And we pray these things in the victorious name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing.
let it all go. I see it now, laying it down. I know that I need you. Run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, the reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon.
Dismissed in just a couple minutes. I do have a couple quick announcements going to run by you. The first one is that we just want to say thank you again for worshiping with us. And I do want to remind you, sorry, man, I preached hard. We do have three ways of that you can support the mission of Tree City Church. We have an offering box back there at the back. You can give online, treecitychurchtn.com, or you can download the Tithely app. Just T-I-T-H-E.L-Y, search for Tree City Church. You're going to be able to give and support the mission that way. I just want to say thank you for those who are so faithful to give. It's because of your faithfulness and your worship that we are able to keep doing the things that we are doing, that here we are 3.5-4 years later because of your faithful tithes and offerings. Excuse me. So I just want to say thank you for that. Guys, be in prayer for our nation. Our world is hurting. And I struggled this week with, I need to teach on this. I need to preach on this. and I even started to this week. But it was not ready. because I wasn't ready. Because I'm like you. I'm still trying to make sense out of everything. And I would not have been able to speak. I would have been speaking out of emotion. And just be praying for our nation this week. This is not over. There's a lot of opportunity for us to learn as a people from this. There's a lot of opportunity for the American church to begin being a leader in reconciliation. We need to step up to this opportunity. And so I've reached out to some friends, say, you know, what can we do? What can I do? And those conversations are ongoing. But our nation is hurting. And there is a people group who is woefully neglected. And it's being highlighted this week. I know there's a lot of riots and loitering and stuff going on, and regardless of how you feel about all of that, know that there are people of color who are our brothers and sisters who live in fear. It's real. And I'm not going to preach right now on that, but I am going to compel you to pray like you've never prayed for reconciliation to happen. And we better dismiss before I start crying. So, Chad, would you dismiss us?
Father, we thank you.